Hello and welcome to a special presentation from Checkpoint Radio. This is a show that I thought I would never have to do. We're here to talk about the tragedy that happened in Jacksonville over the weekend at the Madden 19 tournament. And joining me, I have, of course, Robbie Landis, as well as Norris Howard. How you guys doing?
As good as can be expected, all things considered.
Yep, doing okay, but as Robbie said, is okay as it can be expected.
Yeah, tough day for us all here at Checkpoint and in the esports community, as we're all trying to, you know, wrestle with what happened down in Florida. So let's start by getting a few things straight here. This is not CNN. We are not going to play the Twitch video ad nauseum to add to this story. Everyone has seen it. Everyone has seen or heard the video. We have no desire to continue to perpetuate that sort of tragedy to be able to, I don't know, scintillate our viewers. That's not what we're here for. We are also not CNN in the fact that we are not a news organization. We're a collection of gamers that do a radio show. Yes, we do news on that show, but we're not a news organization. And so we want to set just a couple of ground rules, you know, before we get into this. You know, the first thing that you're not going to hear is you're not going to hear a lot of blame being thrown around here. We want to talk about how we feel as gamers, what we can do inside the industry to help prevent this moving forward. And of course, we want to hear from you today. 810-515-8715 is how you call the show. You can also use Discord at checkpointradio.com/Discord. We invite your calls. We want to share. We want to share in your grief. This is all a period of collective grief for the entire esports community. We don't pretend to be some kind of, in some kind of leadership role here. We just want to be able to facilitate a discussion. And since it happened in our own backyard, become a platform for you to share your thoughts, your feelings on the matter, as well as for us to share our opinions. So I want to start with the facts that we know for sure, what happened in Florida yesterday.
Yeah, so currently what we do know is, of course, it took place at a sort of pizza bar style.
Chicago Pizza, yeah.
Chicago Pizza style bar area in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a Madden 19 tournament. And another thing that we're not going to do, and I want to preface this, is we're not going to spend too much time on the perpetrator, but in the sake of passing on the information, authorities in Jacksonville have identified a suspect, the shooter suspect, David Katz of Baltimore, was down at that tournament. He was playing in that tournament, and after the incident, he did indeed fatally shoot himself. After all of that, among the victims were True Boy and Spot Me Please, two names that I myself have seen before in the Madden scene, have seen before in the EA Sports scene. They lost their lives yesterday, and many more wounded.
I believe the current count is 11 wounded.
Yes.
Including I've been seeing reports on Twitter. This is not confirmed by any other sources, but just anecdotally through Twitter, that one competitor even got shot in the thumb which, if you think about it, you know, how lucky that person is in their life to only be injured in the hand. But at the same time, that's indeed how esports athletes and esports competitors make their money. It's as devastating to a runner being shot in the leg.
It did come from one of the verified account of one of the competitors. So.
Yes, it did. Again, we're trying to work off of the best factual information that we've been able to confirm, either double confirm through news sources or confirm ourselves. Electronic Arts put out this statement earlier. The authorities have confirmed that we've lost two respected members of our community yesterday. Elijah Trueboy Clayton and Taylor Spot Me Please Robinson. Their deaths are an inconceivable tragedy, and we offer our deepest sympathies to their families, to those injured, and everyone affected by this. Many of us at EA knew Elijah and Taylor well, and their positive and competitive spirit and respect for other players was evident to everyone. They earned the admiration of all who watch them compete, and we will miss them greatly. We are committed to supporting their family members through this difficult time. That's the statement directly from the Electronic Arts Twitter account. And guys, this is such a tragedy to happen in our backyard. And especially, you know, for those that maybe weren't aware or maybe joining us for the first time, Checkpoint Radio had the honor of going out to the Rocket League Universal Open at NBC Studios. And we were having a phenomenal time watching a great 2v2 matchup of Rocket League when this news broke. And to be in the room with other journalists and people who really understand the gravity of this, and to feel the air taken out of that room, you know, all of us were shocked. All of us were beside ourselves. And yet we still had to pull it together and be able to continue forward to talk about Rocket League, to talk about why we were there, and to focus on what we had to do and our task at hand. We saw a lot of professionals being pros, including you guys. I have to say, you know, our own team here at Checkpoint Radio, we really pulled it together and were able to move forward. So I think that having that juxtaposition of how much fun I was having with the Rocket League Universal Open, and to know that there were people who were having that same amount of fun, and it turned to horror and tragedy in the matter of seconds. To me, I think that really compounded what happened here.
It definitely did. And, you know, as more and more information was coming in, we were having discussions about almost immediately discussions, of course, about much larger issues. But the discussions immediately went to what could we do? What could we do as communities? What could we do as organizers? Because we were in the same room, not just with journalists, but also executives from Rocket League and people from NBC Sports who were putting on the tournament itself. And instantly the conversation went towards what is it that we need to be doing better? What is it that we could have done to possibly, you know, in the future prevent these sorts of things? And just one comment that I want to share is that, you know, the sentiment that I've been seeing throughout social media and the sort of continued vitriol towards EA, this is not the time to be angry at EA. We constantly make jokes and laugh about EA and their decisions as a company, but this is not the time to direct your ire at EA. This was a smaller tournament. EA has, all they did was officially sanction the tournament, put their stamp of approval on the tournament, they were not involved in security location. They're not involved in, you know, who is invited to the tournament outside of whoever is in leaderboards. This is not something that is on EA, and I just want us to make sure that we're not getting into, you know, wading in those weeds.
Now, on that note, though, I mean, obviously, you know, people are feeling a vast amount of emotions, mournful, sadness, and anger is definitely one of those things. And, you know, something that I do want to talk about here tonight is what do you do with those emotions? Because people lashing out at EA, you're right, they are absolutely an easy target. But what those people are feeling when lashing out is obviously still valid. And, you know, I mean, I've been having a lot of trouble reconciling this whole thing myself. I mean, you know, Garbazi in the chat said that, you know, I never thought as a gamer and being part of esports that I would have to talk about things like this. He says to stay strong, that we'll get through this as a community. And I think that's really important because, you know, these tragedies like these have been happening more and more. And yet I admit there is still some sort of disconnect, like they happen, but up until this one, and actually even I believe it was last year when the armed perpetrator at the, was it the Phoenix Comic Con?
Yeah, that was, I think that was almost now 2 years ago. The gentleman who showed up at the Phoenix Comic Con with the intention to kill
Jason David Frank.
Correct,
that,
yes.
That was another one that was so narrowly avoided, but it was in our backyard. And to think, like, how many cons have we been to? How many esports tournaments that we've been to? And to now see that happen in what is essentially our backyard, I think it's more jarring than something like this has been before. And, you know, again, Garbazi mentions the community, and one of the things that has been helping me get through it is the amount of outpouring across social media from all types of professionals, from all different esports, from all different sections of the industry, you know, has been so solid that, you know, it's one of the things that I've been leaning on. And, you know, today at my day job, I brought this up to you know, to talk to other people about it. And I know that it's being reported, you know, we've seen various articles, it's been on CNN, but part of me was also taken aback, and this is, I think, where the struggle came from, or part of the struggle is coming from. No one else that I've talked to today has heard anything about it. And I don't know if that's, you know, indicative of how they consume their media or not, but it's just another aspect of trying to deal with this that, you know, I myself have been having quite a bit of trouble with.
For me, plenty of people have talked to me about it, reached out to me about it, considering they understand the work we do here at Checkpoint. But I think the biggest issue that I'm seeing is that too much when these things happen, these communities become very supportive.
Something I think gamers have always been very
passionate
and good at. Yeah,
yeah.
I think because this is relegated, and I hate to say this, but in the realm of esports and in the realm of video games, that even the very concept of people losing their lives have been sort of relegated to a footnote.
Yeah.
And that was part of why, you know, we wanted to come on tonight, part of why we wanted to talk tonight, because we kind of knew that would be sort of how it was handled in traditional media, traditional press. Of course, there's a lot of press on it, but, you know, New York Times this morning has a story about what is esports and why should you know about it.
Oh,
there's still a large fraction of the American public that knows nothing about these communities and therefore have a hard time being sympathetic towards it, and that's of no fault of their own.
Yeah, I honestly not sure how I feel about that article. I mean, sure, educating people about esports, but doing so on the premise of the tragedy that happened. I don't know.
It's hard to contextualize. And, yeah. And you know, I think that, you know, Robbie, you were the one who had said earlier that this hits home in a different way than a lot of the other mass shootings. You know, I was talking to my mom earlier and told her how much I've been specifically struggling with this one. And, you know, she said something interesting to me, and she said, you know, did you struggle this way when it was Parkland? And I said, no, I didn't. And I think the reason why is because I didn't have to explain Parkland to someone. I didn't have to try to provide context for what happened at, you know, in at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas to someone. This, because this happened in our backyard, and because we do the show that we do, we have to talk about this. We have to contextualize it. We have to come out, and we have to be able to find the words that most of the time in these tragedies, we don't have to even look for. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we throw them out on Twitter. And you know what? If that's the kind of person you are, then fine. But I think that in a lot of ways, when this happens, you know, I have become numb to it in a lot of ways. And having it happen in my backyard, in my hobby's backyard, so to speak, has driven it home in a way where I didn't realize how numb I had become to it. And that, to me, is incredibly disturbing. Why didn't I feel like this when it was Parkland? Why didn't I feel like this when it was the Mandalay Bay? Obviously, those were tragedies. Obviously, those tugged at my heartstrings, and I felt terrible for those people. The body count's arguably much higher in both of those instances. But it's because I didn't have to come out and explain it to someone and contextualize it and be the adult in the room. Well, that is so difficult.
I think that's actually, because you're right, I've been struggling with coming to a similar realization, but you're right. Everyone has felt these, you know, whether it was the Mandalay Bay, Parkland, countless other senseless tragedies. Everyone felt those. Everyone was part of that at the same time. But because we didn't have to explain or contextualize it, they were just feelings. And I think because of the numbness and you know, however it is that you choose to either escape or confront those, it isn't until now where we've not only had to reconcile with those feelings, but also put them into words, which honestly is the most, probably the most difficult thing about it.
And watching, watching other places get it wrong too.
Yeah. But also you don't really have to do much, you know, contextualizing of school. You don't have to do much contextualizing of concerts. This is an event that most people don't have context for. People don't have context for esports. People don't have context for gaming tournaments. They simply don't. And, you know, Nate, you and I have said many times, we can't wait to see what traditional media is going to do with this. Because we know that, as you said, somebody is going to get it wrong, or at the very least, somebody is going to approach it from a place of ignorance. And again,
or not, even worse, trying to purposefully politicize it.
Purposefully politicize it. And again, I'm not here to make indictments upon any publication or any journalist or anything. However, it does seem like it's hit closer to home, because it has.
Well,
and not only has it hit closer to home, as you guys saying, finding the words for it, but also having to wrap your mind around something like this happening in a community or a series of communities that has built itself on acceptance, that has built itself upon being safe spaces, built itself on being inclusive. That is part of why esports and why video games have resonated with so many people, why there are so many people who want to be a part of this conversation that we're even having right now.
That's such a great point, Norris. I mean, when you think about any number of events that we've watched, whether it was Rocket League this weekend or Overwatch League, after every single match, they don't just shake hands. The competitors go up and they hug each other. You know, they're to think that something like that could, I guess, invade, like you said, this community of acceptance and respect and understanding. That's, yeah, something that I don't think I realize now, but that's definitely, I think, part of why this hurts so much.
Absolutely. Speaking of getting it wrong, I don't want to put any specific news organizations on blast, but I do want to talk about some of the narratives that I'm starting to see emerge out of this conversation happening in the mainstream media. I saw a commentator today who is a specialist in active shooter situations who implied, and I cannot believe this, who implied that the gamers' concentration on the game was so great that it impacted their reaction time to what was going on in the building. And I think that that's so insulting for a few reasons. The first reason is that there's no actual evidence of that. When you look at the video, the first shot, when it rang out, the only thing on screen was the game. No competitor cameras were up when that first shot rang out.
Which, by the way, thank God.
Thank God. Thank God. But to say, because there was still movement in the game, that they were still playing while the shooting was going on is an insane accusation. And it completely obfuscates the very real scapegoating that does. You know, like,
oh, it does. As if you know, one could be personally responsible for one's own demise,
right?
Because you were focused on a game. It is absolutely ridiculous, and it does again try to put the onus upon, you know, upon gaming. They put an onus upon the game to say, well, you know what, if these kids weren't so deep into this game, maybe some of them may have got out. Which, you know, first of all, let's not call them kids. This was a 22-year-old and a 28-year-old. This man had a family. Okay.
Yeah.
He was married, had children. I'm speaking of Spot Me. And, you know, it's frustrating to hear stuff like that, because no one ever just says, this is horrible, let's find out who, what, where, when, why, and then let's allow people to grieve.
Yeah, absolutely. The other narrative that I've seen start to emerge is the, of course, extreme logical jump that has to be done to say, well, what is going wrong with this generation? And I've seen a lot of people even throwing up their hands saying, well, clearly we can't do anything about the gun laws or guns. What else could it possibly be? Rick Scott down in Florida actually was quoted as saying this. We've got to get to the root of finding out what's why these young men don't value life anymore. And the implication there is, and there was even an analyst on a network today that made this logical jump, that said even though it wasn't a game like Call of Duty, or it wasn't a violent game, even though it was a Madden game, you gotta just consider the world that these guys are living in, where they can retreat to their basements. And I thought, again, so insulting. That you, what kind of respect are you showing the people who lost their lives, who were there as professionals competing, They had the right to be there. How much respect are you showing them by reducing their profession to, oh, well, what kind of life do these guys live in their basement? How insulting is that? And I can't, it kills me every time I see this happen, because that's the beginning of the political spin. Well, clearly we can't do anything about the gun debate. We got to figure out what else it is. And whether it's been movies, whether it's been music, whether it's been video games, we've been down this road hundreds, if not thousands of times. And I'm tired of the conversation, to be frank with you. I'm tired of the conversation of what is it that's making that's corrupting the youth.
The level of disrespect from that is absolutely astounding. Norris, you know, you had mentioned one of the competitors, Spot Me Please. He had a family, a wife, two children, who he supported his family through his esports career and was saving up to go to college. So to paint gamers in a broad spectrum like that is absolutely horrendous.
It's not even so much about the broad spectrum. It's about, again, being respectful to the people who had lost their lives, who are injured, who will, and let's not even, you know, again, sugarcoat this. There are people who have no physical injuries who are going to be harmed from this psychologically for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely.
There are going to be people who possibly could be a part of our community, who could be a part of the esports and gaming scene, who will be emotionally and mentally unable to do it because of this event. And that hurts me too, because we often always talk about the gun debate and the mental health debate and all of these issues that allow or don't allow certain events to happen, and none of it is about actually reaching out to victims of these types of events, reaching out to people who are affected, the families of these people who are affected by these events, and really trying to understand what we can do to best help them. There will always be people who do insane things. That will not change. That has never changed. That has always been. But what we can do, part of what we can do, is not allow the people who do those who commit these acts to be uplifted and placed into our zeitgeist, our public consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also respect the lives of those who were affected by this tragedy. And I think by calling them kids who have a distorted view of reality, or people who could just retreat into their basements, these were regular people participating in their hobby, some who were at work.
Yeah.
That is basically what this is. There were some people who were there working. That was their careers. And to reduce that, as you said, to just, oh, well, you know, those video games, it's the same conversation we've been having for 25 years. And it's the same lazy, it's intellectually lazy.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Absolutely. There are reports that the competitor, the shooter, lost earlier in the competition or was disqualified. We're not entirely sure what the specific narrative is, but he was there to compete, and for one reason or another was either knocked out or was not allowed to compete. And I think that this speaks to a large problem that we have among our generation, and that is our ability to cope with adversity or with failure. This is something that I've noticed among our generation. We are not good at. We are among the first generations of participation trophies, and you're not really a loser. You gave it your all, and you know, I think about all of the lessons that I learned growing up that were at odds with everything that I learned about being a nerd and loser in my social circle growing up. Because what I was being told by a lot of my teachers and a lot of my parents was absolutely false. And and in a lot of ways in my own life, I was failing at things, trying very hard at things. You know, I don't know if people know this about me. I ran a record label for 3 years. It failed miserably. This is not my first business venture. This is not my first time trying to make something my own. I had a band. I tried to, you know, be successful in music, and I wasn't. And I had to learn failure for myself. And I don't know that all of my peers have been taught that same lesson, because I had to stray pretty far from both my parents and my schooling to be able to learn that lesson.
Well, not just so much about the lessons about learning how to lose. That's a big part of it, is learning how to lose. But also, we have to understand that the concept of the participation trophies and everybody's a winner and all that was supposed to try to mitigate that feeling, right? Was supposed to try to mitigate isolationism and feelings of a lack of self-worth and all that stuff. But instead, what it did was create a culture of, you know, people who not only didn't know how to lose, but expected to win.
Yeah.
And just to clear up, there's no, you know, confirmation, that, the shooter, was coming back to do something because he lost at this particular tournament. That has not been confirmed, and we can't confirm it because he's no longer here. But according to interviews from on the scene, again, this was a guy who was not specifically targeting individuals. He was not going after, you know, people who had beaten him previously in that tournament. It seemed to be that he came in with something against this particular group, this tournament, everyone there who just happened to be there. And I just want us to make sure that, you know, again, before we go down too long of a road in a certain narrative, that we make sure that we understand that in this event, you know, there's no indicator that that was the reasoning or the motive behind this shooting.
Absolutely. Again, you're listening to Checkpoint Radio, Esports and Gaming Radio. We're coming together to kind of collectively talk about what happened yesterday down in Jacksonville, Florida at the Madden 19 tournament. 3 dead, 11 injured, and we invite your calls. 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/Discord if you'd like to join us on Discord. We want to hear from you. We want to know what your feelings on the tragedy are. We want to know what you think maybe we could do as a community to try to help with this. We want to hear from you. 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/Discord to join us on Discord. You know, one of the things that I guess I didn't even really think about until I was talking about it with a coworker today, was that the fact that this happened on Twitch and this happened live, And that video and audio is circulating the media so effectively, I'm starting to become concerned about copycat crimes moving forward. which underscores the conversation about the need for security at events moving forward. I think the fact that, you know, this happened underscores how vulnerable these events can be. And we've all seen it, whether it's been E3 2 years ago or whether it's been, security at local conventions. There needs to be increased security for some of these events. And it's sad to say, but the appeal of a copycat crime is the same appeal that we see in swatting. And yeah, that can't, and that can't, that I mean, as little as any one of us wants to admit it, that can't be denied here.
Well, you're 100% correct. And I think the only way that we can prevent things in terms of live events, yes, is we got to step up security. We also have to be much more vigilant when it comes to observing and understanding, you know, maybe somebody in our community who may be struggling. And I think it is very easy for us to write things off when it comes to these events about, you know, anger and the lack of the ability to lose social issues, you know, getting adjusted to those types of things. I think as a community, yes, we can be a little more vigilant when it comes to understanding, like, hey man, this guy, he's taking this loss really bad, you know, maybe a few of us can go over and talk to him about it.
Well, you know, Norris, I think that's why this is so scary and why it's shaking so many people. Is it's not that we don't do that. In the chat here, Millie Juco says, one of the things that is also especially blindsiding is because the gaming community feels safe. This is a community where people who didn't fit in anywhere else felt like they belong.
Yeah. And I mean,
And to think that now we, out of all communities, out of everyone who comes together and how well we treat each other, to think that we don't do enough, that's both terrifying and heartbreaking.
Well, and I'm not saying that we don't. And again,
of course.
And I'm not trying to make a sweeping indictment on all of gaming to say that people don't do these things. But we've seen time and time and time again within our own communities about, as Nate was saying, swatting, crank calls, sending, you know, 10,000 pizzas to somebody's house, stuff like that, you know, and some of these things extend a little bit farther than gaming and move more into the internet culture as a whole. But these are still things that people can be affected by, and there's a such thing as, you know, emotional terrorism, mental terrorism, and that's something that we see constantly in streaming communities. And I think it is important for us to recognize that when it's happening, that we don't feed that. And the only way that we do that is we hold those who do it accountable, but also we make sure that when we see people who are struggling, that we make sure we extend our hands to them, that we say, hey, man, you know what? You play well, or even if you didn't play well, you come back next time. There's always something that you could do to improve. There's ways for us to still embrace one another and it be effective. You know, I've been going through since yesterday different accounts of people and their interactions with the shooter, with the suspect, who, you know, essentially there was some understanding that this was a guy who had been struggling with, you know, mental illness. This was someone who may have been feeling ostracized from a group that is supposed to be for those who are ostracized. And that is dangerous. And that is what I'm saying. I'm not saying people have to go out and be best friends and befriend everyone, but there is something that all of us can do.
No, you're right. And hearing you talk about this too, you know, having just done it myself, I think one of the things that maybe we as gamers are susceptible to is, you know, we've spent the majority of our childhood and our adult life, you know, using video games to varying degrees, depending on who we are at times in our life, as escapism, right? And obviously, yes, I think that we are a very compassionate group of people, but we also share this space with the Gamergate people. So you're right. We do have to be more vigilant, whether it's watching for people who may be struggling and, you know, if we can't helping them, but also watching for people like those who try and swat or do these pranks that you're right, do amount to emotional terrorism, and making sure that we're also doing what we can there, whether it's reporting people, calling people out, or basically whatever we can. We are a very inclusive group, but there are also those within our group that are very dangerous, just like in the real world and in any other group out there.
Yeah, and it's always not, it's never clear, at least, you know, a cut and dry issue who those people are. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I've seen a lot of comments in our chat about mental illness and the role that plays. And in fact, how people who have some sort of mental illness are tired of this stigma being placed on them, you know, through tragedies like this. And I also understand that as well. I have a lot of sympathy for that. Because, you know, yes, while mental health is a component of it, yes, while security is a component of it, I think that you guys are right that being present and being empathetic to those around us, even in our own insular group, is important. And yeah, you know what? Even in a group of misfits, not everyone is going to fit in. That's the fact. It's, you know, again, going back to, you know, my musician days, I was very much into punk rock, and I was on the outs of my local punk rock scene. That's a very weird feeling to have, you know, and you spend a lot of time going, what's wrong with me? Why am I driving people away? And really what it is, you know, empathy and understanding and having someone to just go, you okay, goes a long way, or at least a longer way than I think most people would recognize.
We have T. Capelli in the chat saying you shouldn't need security to hang out at a pizza place. And listen, don't get me wrong, I don't disagree. I don't think you should need security to hang out at a pizza place or go to school or go to a concert or any of that stuff. I don't think you should need security for those places, but unfortunately, right now, we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, security is something that from now on, every single solitary tournament, big or small, is going to have to think about this. And they're going to have to think about it in earnest. And unfortunately, that is the reality that we live in. But again, some of these things can be mitigated through our ability to intelligently have conversations with folks, pinpoint if somebody is struggling with something. And sometimes, like Nate said, just sometimes saying, hey, man, you okay? Like, that goes such a long way, yeah. You know, it you never know. And it's not so much about hashtag mental health or hashtag gun laws, right? It is a combination of all these things. And we're a combination of things that we are not going to solve with one conversation on Twitch in one night.
Or that's going to cure the whole situation, whether we make strides to help in all these areas, whether it's gun control, security, mental health, helping out each other as a community. This isn't something that's going to ever go away. But the point is that if everyone pitches in and tries and everyone does what they can, we minimize when it happens, why it happens, where it happens.
Yeah. And you know, we got Scuro who said the sad part is that many of these grassroots groups are going to see a serious hit because they won't be able to afford the security for the venue.
It's a very good point.
It is a very good point. And you know, again, it's something I'll have to think about. But, you know, there's organizations that you can reach out to. There are organizations that will do pro bono security. There are places that you can reach out to, maybe even volunteers, maybe something that you know, we can all do as a community to come together and, you know, have some sort of, you know, comprehensive change throughout all of esports. And of course, you know, the bigger events, the big arenas, they're going to be able to cover those costs.
Yeah,
because you're totally right. The issue is not going to be the big event.
Well, let's not pretend that this is entirely unique to esports. I mean, yes, this is the first time that it's ever happened at an esports event. But any event where there's a gathering of people, you have this type of danger. There is always this type of possibility. And we've seen it, whether it's Ariana Grande concerts or whether it's country concerts in Las Vegas. You know, anytime there's a gathering of any sort of people, this is always a concern. And unfortunately, you know, and I'm not trying to write this off or chalk it up or you know, find a talking point for it. But, you know, that is just part of the times that we live in. And, you know, there's also overreaction that can happen to something like this as well, where, you know, just because one of these events happens does not mean that every event is going to happen like that.
Exactly. And Morgan Freeman in our chat is saying parents not wanting their kids involved sucks, too. And, you know, I don't have kids. None of us here on the panels have kids. So I can't speak to it with any real you know, actual facts behind this, but I can understand that sentiment. But as Nate just said, you know, things have happened at school and the kids in Parkland finished that school year. Things have happened at concerts and people have still gone to concerts.
Yes.
Esports will continue. Grassroots esports will continue, and we will be vigilant and carry on. However, I think what we can do and focus on is how we can all help each other minimize the, you know, the premises for, or the conditions for something like this to happen.
Yeah, and to add on to what Norris is saying too, you know, when it comes to because you're right, I don't have kids, but I could definitely understand. You know, I mean, I have over 10 nieces and nephews, so I understand not wanting to put your kids in harm's way. But when any tragedy like this happens, whether it's, you know, this tournament or a shooting at a school or a concert, in all these cases, we also can't let fear control us, right? You know, we have to come together as the esports community has been doing. And, you know, one of the things that I think that I've been noticing a lot of people do, you know, coming together is we are still gamers. And, you know, I've even seen, you know, playing World of Warcraft this past day, you know, people even talking about it and coming together within the games themselves. So remember that you do still have support all around you, whether it's, you know, here on Twitch with your favorite streamers, talking to people across Twitter, in your guilds, your Discords. You know, this is something that we are going to move past. And like Norris said, going forward, we just have to make sure that, you know, we're staying as alert as we can, because dealing with this is something that we all have to do as a community.
Yeah, this is a collective effort. And especially with esports being so young, you know, I have so many concerns about what this does to the continued momentum that esports has seen as it's continued to grow. It's been on a meteoric rise over the last year, seeing unprecedented investment. You've got more eyes and more interest in esports than ever. And I would hate to think that the actions of one single person at one single event could possibly change the trajectory of all of that.
I don't think that'll happen.
I recognize that that's a possibility.
Yeah, of course, anything is possible, but I don't think that'll happen. And forgive me for being cynical, but I don't think that'll happen because I think people have just unfortunately accepted these types of events as part of their reality. As Robbie was alluding to, you know, this is a part of what American culture has become. And of course, that needs to change. And of course, we need to have more in-depth conversations and we need comprehensive, you know, legislation to change these things if we want them to actually be different than what they are today. But, you know, people have accepted this to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because they're numb or desensitized, but people have become used to it. And I think corporations and companies and the money interests has also become used to it. And so I don't think the investment in particular will stop. I don't think esports will stop. But what will stop and what should stop is this concept that any and everybody is going to be able to pop up and begin a tournament. I think the barrier for entry in being a tournament organizer is going to become that much higher. Because if we as a community are doing what we're supposed to do, we're going to demand more. And people are going to demand to feel safe. And that is going to make putting on tournaments much more expensive, as we talked about earlier. But unfortunately, that is the reality that we exist in now.
Yeah, very well said. This is such a difficult conversation to have. I never thought in my career that I would have to talk about this, you know. I am a broadcaster, I'm a journalist, but you know, I've made my career center around video games because it's something that I love. And you know, even though I am very interested in politics and also interested in the nexus of video games and politics, this is simply not where you want the two to meet.
No, I mean, it's one of the reasons why this is so difficult and jarring for us. You know, going into a career like this, you think the worst you have to talk about is another company's putting loot boxes into your games. And that's such a far throw away from where we are now. It's still when you know, sitting here and even talking about it now, it still seems unreal, like this
it's
can't
surreal.
Possibly be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still surreal. I still have trouble really wrapping my brain around it. Our phone lines are open, 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/discord if you'd like to join us. We'll be here for a little while longer talking about the terrible tragedy in Jacksonville. And you know, giving you guys a chance to express your thoughts, your feelings on the tragedy. We invite your calls, 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/discord. Obviously, we're going to be talking about this week on the radio show. We invite you to join that. That goes down on Wednesday right here on twitch.tv/checkpointradio. And of course, you can find all of our content over at checkpointradio.com. You know, it's hard to see how we move forward from here. What the next steps are. I think, you know, this is still so fresh for everyone that it's still, we're all still grieving. We're all still collectively grieving as a community.
And will be for quite some time, and, I'm sure. And,
which is okay, by the way.
Absolutely.
You know, I've struggled with appropriate grieving processes in my own life. And, you know, sometimes it is okay. It is okay to grieve about things like this, especially when it, you know, impacts something that is in your own backyard. That makes it different. I have felt that this time. I understand that. I sympathize with it. It may feel a little selfish, and I also understand that too. But, you know, I think the last thing that anyone should do is numb themselves to this. You know, I've heard all of us say that we've kind of become numb to this, and maybe culturally we've also become numb to this, but I don't think that we can afford to do that. I don't think that we can afford to do that and still be able to find a path forward to find a solution on this problem. No, we have to empathize. We have to keep our hearts open. We have to sympathize with the victims and their families. And we have to, in some strange way, empathize with the perpetrator as well. That was someone who was struggling, even though he did a terrible thing. That's someone who was struggling and something that we could have been proactive about as human beings. And there is a certain level of acceptance that has to come along with that. There's no way to excuse those actions, but people need help, and there's got to be a path forward. And if you turn off your emotions to all of those very inconvenient facts, then I think that this discussion becomes infinitely more difficult.
Well, and that's the thing, is that trying to figure out how to move forward, where to move forward, what we're supposed to do as a community is the opposite of numbness. It is out of a wellspring of caring, empathy, and out of, you know, what we need to do. I think the worst thing that we can do is to fall into indifference.
To think of it as just, well, so, it happened again.
Yep, is to fall into indifference, to resign ourselves to fate, and to accept this as something that is just simply American culture. And that is part of what needs to change, and that is part of what I think esports can begin to do, because this community is not going to do anything more but grow. It's going to continue to grow, and more kids and more people and more money and more companies are going to want to get involved in it and are going to want to have it as something that's a cornerstone of their lives. And if we're going to do that, then we have to also understand that while bad things will happen,
yeah,
they don't need to happen like this.
Yeah.
They don't need to happen like this.
Well, if, you know, if there's anyone wondering, you know, how to stop yourself from becoming numb, or if you realize that you're in a process like that, you know, when Parkland happened, yes, obviously I'm aware of what was going on. I read the news, I read all the stories, but you know, I didn't talk about it. I just watched, because it's like, what did, you know, what power do we have? But I think what I'm learning from this is that even being able to you know, talk to people, whether it's your peers, your friends, your family, or even strangers in a game about it, I think that's the first step. And you know, even if no change actually comes from that, I think that for us as gamers and as people, because again, this isn't something obviously that is specific to us. It happens to people all around the world, but being able to talk about and even just putting your emotions into words, whether or not you can quantify how that helps you, I think that's just the first step in starting to process it in some way.
Yeah. And you know, there is no answer to this. You know, I wish I could come out here and provide some kind of answer, some kind of closure. I don't have any. I don't have any for myself. All we can do, I think, you know, especially as a platform like Checkpoint Radio, really the most that we can do right now is provide a platform for discussion. And that's what we do here at Checkpoint. And, we appreciate everyone that's been joining us for this conversation. It's a difficult one. And again, phone lines are open, 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/discord. I understand the reluctance to call in and talk about it. It's a very difficult thing to talk about. But if there's something that you need to get off your chest, or you maybe feel like we missed, then I'd like to invite your calls, 810-515-8715. checkpointradio.com/discord.
We have a discussion that's been going on in the chat that I think is interesting, and I think it should be highlighted, because we have a Mezzanine Mayhem that says my point is that one guy who did some horrific in a scene where we wouldn't expect it. The rarity is a testament to the fact that this isn't something we need to drastically change the scene because of. And I understand where that statement comes from.
There's a kernel of truth there, sure.
Yes, I understand where that energy comes from. However, one time is too many. You know, someone who is a drunk driver and harms someone because of it is one time too many.
Yeah.
Because we all know, and we all grew up understanding that drunk driving is bad.
Yeah.
And we all grew up understanding that expressing oneself through or trying to express one's frustration or sadness or isolation through violence to the point where you have killed people is wrong.
And for me, I mean, again, yes, kernel of truth there, but for me, that mindset is also too dismissive. Yes, it was one esports shooting,
yeah,
but it's not the first mass shooting. Parkland certainly wasn't the first school shooting. Yes, it was the first time. Yes, it's a rare occurrence in the grand scheme of things. This time it was 3 dead. It could have easily been 20 dead or more. And one loss of life is enough to at least have a conversation with someone about whether or not this could have been prevented, or whether or not the rarity of it. You know, I have a family member who on my Facebook, whenever the gun debate pops up, is always very into it, very adamant. He's very pro gun, and he's always throwing out statistics, you know, pointing out other means of fatality and how they far outweigh gun fatality, you know, showing the differences between them, like the amount of deaths matters in some way.
Yeah.
He had a brother who died in a car crash, and the number doesn't matter. You know, I've never actually done it because it would be absolutely insensitive, but to think that the number matters, put yourself in someone's shoes or think what it would feel like to lose someone you were close to. If someone had came up to you afterwards and said, well, you know, it was just one, at least it's not 50. Would that matter to you? Numbers mean absolutely nothing. The rarity means absolutely nothing. The people affected by this are affected now for the rest of their life. A simple conversation about it is the least that we can do in every instance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in the response there, he said that the gaming scene shouldn't be under fire because of the rarity. And
I understand that.
I don't think any of us mean under fire. We're not trying to throw blame anywhere.
Which is
the point we're trying to make is that we all, whether or not we have the responsibility to, we all have the ability to help bring about change.
Absolutely.
Which is more of what all of us are saying. And particularly my point is that it is not an industry-wide thing. You're right. This is not something that is widespread. But if everybody just does a little bit more, if everybody does a little bit better, if everybody is a little bit more empathetic and open, then yes, it is something that I think would bring about a substantive change in our community. I can't speak for, I'm not a school superintendent, so I can't speak for school safety. I'm not, I don't run airport security, so I can't speak for airport safety. But I've been to enough esports and gaming events to sort of understand how these events are secured. And knowing what it's like to participate, take part in, and be in a small grassroots, esports tournament or event. Yeah, there are some things that can be improved. And so, no, it's not a sweeping indictment upon the gaming or the esports industries or grassroots esports organizations as a whole. But all I'm saying is, as Robbie said, is we all individually can do a little bit better.
Yeah. And that's, and I think that's what this conversation is about. It's not to assign blame. It's not to say that the esports scene or the esports community is unique in any way, shape or form in this. As I said before, I was very clear. Anywhere where there is a gathering of people, there is the possibility that this can happen. And, I don't think anyone is singling out esports, but I think we also have to be vigilant about the narrative and the conversation that comes after it. Because, Jer Bears said in the chat, I'd love to have a meaningful discussion about gun control and mental health. But to be honest, when a classroom full of first graders gets gunned down and nothing happened, I just kind of lost hope that meaningful change would happen in my lifetime. And
I get that.
I totally understand that. And I feel like that has been a major component of this discussion. Well, how many extreme instances of this have happened and nothing has happened so far? What makes this any different? And I sympathize with that. There is an element of truth there, And again, I don't think that this makes esports unique. I actually think that this just makes esports another unfortunate victim of something that is going wrong in our societal fabric. And, does esports as a scene need to change? No. Do people need to be aware of security or lack thereof at events? Absolutely. Because Norris, as you were saying, we have seen firsthand how cavalier, or maybe not even cavalier, how much of an afterthought things like this are, things like security are at events like this. And I think, wanting for more security at an event like this is not wrong or misguided. It's not trying to assign blame to the industry. It's saying that, listen, we're not different. We are no different than the Ariana Grande concerts of the world. We are no different than high schools. It's a gathering of people. And unfortunately, that is a target.
Well, and not just that, we can't, and I understand that sentiment, Jared Bears, and I get it. I really do. But we can't continue to resign ourselves to that level of hopelessness.
Right.
If what we do within our community helps solve the issue, then that can be used as a litmus test for larger issues. And I think this is an opportunity for us as gamers and in the gaming industry to sort of be the ones to get it right. And I'm not necessarily saying we need to go out and start, lobbying and all this other stuff. I'm not talking about a larger political conversation. I'm speaking very, very, very small, very grassroots. If everybody got together and began to say, we have a tournament here in Detroit called the Big House.
Mm-hmm.
That is usually done in our large convention center. And while they do have security, if it's not a big huge event like the auto show or a Comic-Con or YumaCon, security usually is a little bit more lax.
Well, even something like YumaCon, how many different entrances are there into the two buildings?
Exactly.
Not to mention all the participants walking back and forth between those two buildings.
Imagine if 50 people came out and said, you know what, I'll volunteer on Saturday. I'll come down and volunteer security.
Just be a pair of eyes, yeah.
For 4 hours. Just to be a pair of eyes, help check bags, whatever. That in and of itself would be so helpful to that particular facility that not only would they probably not say no to it, I think it would make them feel a lot more comfortable in holding esports events in the future.
Yeah.
And so while that is not what I think is the permanent solution, that's just a solution. That is a thing to think about moving forward that we could do that could be used sort of, I guess, as a example.
Well, I know that, you know, something like E3 is obviously on a much, much, much larger scale. But even when you look at the changes from 2017 to 2018, it was a change as small as you can only enter the compound through, you know, two specific entrances.
Right.
That cuts down on the amount of areas that you would have to watch. Now, yes, obviously they have tons of money and were able to also afford security guards, pat down scanners and all that types of stuff. But even being able to limit the number of doors that you can enter through could go a long way. You know, one of the articles that I had saw for this particular, you know, situation had mentioned that, you know, where the competition was being held was actually through the restaurant. So the perpetrator actually did have to walk through several people to get to where he was. Imagine if just one person, like you said, Norris, had volunteered to be watching or checking people as they came through the door. One simple thing like that can make a difference.
Absolutely. Let's go to our phone lines. We've got Dark Flux hanging on the line wanting to talk about security. Dark Flux, welcome to Checkpoint Radio.
Hey, guys. I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about the topic of security and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys were talking about, you know, having more volunteers, just having more eyes at the scene. I mean, I've been to conventions myself. I went to PAX South earlier this year. And the amount of security they had was basically just people at the door checking bags. Like, it wasn't, you know, seemingly on the surface, doesn't seem like a huge deal. But just having that little bit of extra leeway is just always a good step forward to trying to help prevent stuff like this from happening.
Absolutely. Well, but there's also a bit of danger in something like that, too. You know, you guys had mentioned the security lines at E3, checking people's bags, going through. And, you know, during E3, they only really had the one road closed in between the convention center and LA Live so that participants could get back and forth without having to wait for traffic to clear, which is helpful. But there is that whole line of traffic that goes right by the convention center. And with a line of people that big outside of the convention waiting to get checked to get into the convention, I mean, it's totally conceivable that someone could have taken a car, jumped the curb, and caused as Absolutely. Much damage as well, anyone with a gun. And again, and I sympathize with all of these points of view because that is all factually accurate.
There's a phrase that whenever something like this comes up, people will inevitably throw out, and that's, if someone wants to do something terrible, they'll find a way. I don't think that's completely true. I think that if someone wants to do something terrible, they will certainly try. And so long as we're constantly talking about these issues when they happen, talking about ways to prevent them, when they do try, they will be more likely to fail. The Phoenix Comic-Con, right? That person intended on causing harm to multiple people, not even just Jason David Frank, but anyone who responded as well. He wanted to cause pain. He tried, but he was stopped. And it's conversations like this that are the first step in getting to that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's also like another thing that has kind of been in my mind with all the discussions about this person, you know, shooting people up because he lost at a game. I personally don't buy that that is the only reason for a single second. I think it obviously had to have some other motive or some, like, because I mean, I don't know what the gun laws are in Florida or whatever, because people have said it's open carry. Some people have said it's not. I really don't know. But, like, why would he have a gun at an event like this in the first place if he had no intention of using it?
I think that's a valid. I mean, first of all, like, the premise of your question is absolutely valid. I think that speculating on a presentation like this is wildly inappropriate. There is an investigation that is being conducted, and I think that, you know, I would have to leave that to the professionals to be able to discern motive. But I do think that that is a very valid question. If he didn't have an intention on causing mayhem, then why have the weapon on his person in the first place? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and that can also come back to having somebody at the door, you know, checking the bags. Like, if, you know, if there was just a little bit of security there just to check the bags, not to say that that necessarily would have completely stopped the problem, but it would have been a possible way of preventing it.
Sure.
Well, it is. And again, what we're talking about is, as Robbie said, just creating more barriers for people to be, you know, stifled, creating more barriers for people to have to go through if they have a desire to do harm. Because as it stands, for stuff like that, you know, for the event in Jacksonville that we're talking about, the barrier to commit harm in that particular venue was not high. From what we've seen in the stories, what we think is that, as Nate said, security was handled by the venue, and that was obviously lax. Beyond just volunteer security guards, I mean, there are things that you also can rent metal detectors. You don't have to buy them.
Right.
You can rent them. You can rent, you know, magnetic wands. You can buy them used. So, again, I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, the esports industry has failed somehow. This is also a moment for grassroots esports organizations to look back and reflect upon themselves to say, okay, this is something more that we need to think about. It sucks that it took for people to unfortunately die for us to get to that point. But nonetheless, it's something that has to be discussed and has to be sorted out.
Yeah, absolutely. Dark Flux, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
If you want to join in on the discussion, 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/discord. We invite your calls. We want to hear from you. So I'm sure that, you know, fans of the show, followers of the show, notice that it's the three of us tonight. And we are down a Joe. Joe could not be here to join us, but he and Sarah sat down and recorded this message earlier today.
Hey guys. Obviously, was not intending to do this video tonight, but events of the day kind of, well, we have to. Joe and Sarah, obviously, usually when we get together, we're doing it for a fun cause or for something, a good time, and that's just not going to be the case tonight. I do apologize. Literally 2 hours ago, I was on a plane flying back into Detroit, and
it's late.
So we're going to try to get through this. But if anything doesn't sound right or comes out weird, we apologize. It's been a very long day.
And we have a puppy
that left
us.
Yeah, a puppy. So today, today was supposed to be a great day. It really was. And I mean, in so many ways, it was a great day. We had, we were 8 hours ago, I was in NBC Studios in Stanford covering the Rocket League Universal Open, and it was, I mean, in so many ways, it was incredible. I did a show inside an actual TV studio. I believe the studio where they record Saturday Night Football. You know, we had every accommodation we could have asked for. We met so many amazing people and made some new friends and great contacts. And that's what today was supposed to be. That's what it was supposed to be. And it isn't. And it sucks. I don't really know how to say it more eloquently than that. It sucks.
Well, in case you're not sure what we are referring to, although I think with what's going to be going on tomorrow with your crewmates probably be explained, but we're referring to the tragedy, the shooting at Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
At an esports tournament for Madden.
For Madden. And this isn't, I mean, a shooting is not something we typically touch on with our show, as horrendous and awful as they are. It's just, you know, we're a video game and esports show, and that's what we're supposed to talk about. But this literally happened in our backyard. And that is really weird. Of course, you guys are watching this on the special presentation of Checkpoint Radio, which I unfortunately cannot be at. I'm going to be at work because I took the weekend off so I could go do this stuff in Stanford, so I can't be there to do this. But we wanted to sit and record something for you guys because we have to get our thoughts out there somehow. It's really weird because in one day, I mean, I literally saw the best that esports has to offer. Like, I saw kids as young as 15 with their parents cheering them on playing Rocket League at the highest level that you possibly can. And I saw them playing against young men who are just stellar, incredible individuals. And seeing that and then juxtaposing it literally against the absolute worst that you could possibly imagine coming out of esports in one day is just, it's hard to process. And so if we say something insensitive, I promise it's not intentional. It's just
grief.
It's grief. Yeah, well, we have a lot of emotion going on, and there's a lot to try to consider and understand, and it doesn't make any sense. So as we know it right now, by the time this airs, we might have new information, but I think it was three dead. Three dead, including the shooter, and over a dozen injured, and it's horrifying. I mean, I was trying to think of like what to tweet out. I fucking hate thoughts and prayers and all that shit.
Well, yeah.
So I didn't tweet that. I just said, I think I said, I have no words. I'm horrified. Like that's all I can think to say.
And it's hard for me as not technically in Checkpoint Radio, but I, for those who know me, I do social work for a living. I do social work for kids for a living. Yeah. So anytime anything that affects children, of course, is a personal thing for me. And I think that there's a lot that I feel like I should be saying because, in my opinion, I don't think this is a mental health issue, but I think it's a social issue. No. At the same time,
is now the moment.
Well, it's not even just is now the moment. It's, I don't know. It's both I have no words, and also it's hard.
Yeah. When I found out, I was literally in the bathroom at NBC Studios trying to get the Twitch to load up on my stream so I could keep up with what was going on. I think it was Girls and Complexity were playing. And I was trying to get caught up on it, and I get a phone update, breaking news. Mass shooting at esports event. That's the article that I saw. And I, like, literally in the bathroom, like, do I go out? Is that here?
Right.
What the fuck? And, I mean, of course, you know, as soon as you click the article, you see Jacksonville, and you're like, oh my god. And so I go back down the hallway to the media room where the crew is, and it was so surreal because, like, literally I had just left that room with everyone cheering and applauding and cracking jokes and just enjoying the action. And I walk back in, and it's just deathly silent. No one's talking. Everyone's just staring at their phones, just in shock. I mean, from the psionics people who are running the tournament with NBC people, other newspaper sources, everyone who was in the media room was just sitting there, like, trying to figure out, what now? How do I report on this? I mean, we're here to cover a Rocket League event. Do we mention it? What do we do? And it was weird and really difficult. I mean, I've never seen a tone shift so fast. Like,
it's whiplash.
Yeah, it's whiplash. That's it. I mean, I just go back to, like, it sucks. This shouldn't have been what this weekend was. This sort of shit should never happen. Like, I mean, I saw a tweet go out today from a guy who said, "My thumb got shot off. I'm so lucky." That is nothing anyone should ever have to say out loud, or let alone tweet. Like, I'm so lucky that I only lost my thumb. And to see the video playing, it's horrifying. You're watching this Madden tournament, and you hear shots ring out in the background, and you literally, on one of the shots, you can see the fucking laser scope go across them. Like, what do you say to that? What's the response? And I mean, nothing we can say. I don't want to say that doesn't matter. I don't know.
Well, I mean, especially since it's not, I mean, this isn't an esports problem.
No,
it's becoming that.
It's affected every walk of life, and I mean, we had to know eventually we were going to be in that.
And you shouldn't have been.
No one should be.
No.
No one ever should be. But, I mean, here we are, and we as a community get to decide, you know,
how to respond.
How do we respond to this? What's now? What do we do next? And, I mean, I guess for me, like I said, I fucking hate saying thoughts and prayers and all that shit, but, I mean, to anyone who is personally affected by this, I guess I hope you, whatever has to happen for you to get through this, I hope it happens. That's what I can offer, and that sucks, because that's fucking nothing. I mean, I think Matt Pat put out a video today, or a tweet today, that was just talking about, like, you should never, you know, you're not, your self-worth is not your career or who you're dating, and it certainly isn't fucking where you place in a tournament or anything like that, and I don't want to speculate as to what the cause was of the shooting. I don't know, but, like, an esports event, as I mean, we saw, like I said, the best of it today. We saw how wonderful and how great it can be, and at the same time, we saw the absolute worst of what it can be, and it's not right. Like, literally, you have, like, the pin, like, do this. This is what this should be. And that is that it had to end so horribly for so many people today is the worst. As someone who is literally trying to make a career in esports and in this space, it horrifies me that anyone had to experience esports in this way, because it's such a wonderful thing that has so much to offer for so many people, and that anyone had to experience this out of our backyard. It leaves us as gamers to ask, you know, what can we do better? Where do we go from here? And, you know, there's not going to be an answer in this video. We're wrapping up here. There's not going to be an answer either, but maybe the conversation starts. So I hope you all can do whatever you have to do to get through this and to keep this conversation going. Don't let it just drop. Too often, this conversation just falls off and stops, and it shouldn't. this conversation has to keep going. And it's on you guys to hold us accountable, us in the media accountable, to continue that conversation. And it's on you guys to hold yourselves accountable to continue that conversation. So I think that's all for us. Thank you guys. And I don't know. How do you end this?
How you usually end things.
That's fair. I hope you all have a wonderful today, a safe tomorrow, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.
Thank you, Joe and Sarah, for that video, providing their reactions and thoughts on the events down in Jacksonville. Lines are open, 810-515-8715, checkpointradio.com/discord. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your feelings on what happened this past weekend in Jacksonville. Guys, let's get some final thoughts here. We've talked a lot about, you know, potential solutions and next steps and moving forward. But, you know, I want to say that I have appreciated the opportunity to use our platform to talk about something this important and this difficult. Not everyone gets to do this. Not everyone gets to have a platform or have the ability to talk about this or try to contextualize it, even though, you know, it was a daunting task and a big responsibility to try to put some context around this. I'm very grateful for our community, the respectfulness of which you guys came at this discussion, the civility that you guys displayed, not just in your calls, but in the chat room. I want to thank you guys. This is, I think, been a very productive discussion. And I want to say that, at least for myself, I feel at least a little bit better to have gotten this all off my chest.
Go ahead, Norris.
No, I was just going to say, thank you for everybody, or to everybody who joined us tonight, for your thoughts, for your conversation, really just making yourselves available for whoever needed to express some things, both within our chat room and what we talked about here on the show. I think moving forward, this is something that will be a bellwether for us in the industry. This should mark a moment where we really finally took a hard look at what it is that we can do to not only secure events a lot better, but also to be better community members to each other. The more we do that, I think the better off that we will be. I just hate that we had to lose people. We had to lose people, had to lose our brothers at that MAT tournament, for us to have to seriously think about this in the esports realm. But let's make sure that that's not in vain. And let's make sure that what we can do, or whatever we do in the future, is something that would honor their lives and also honor the lives of those who are forever scarred by this horrible, horrible, horrible event.
What I'd like to speak to is more of a sort of like on the personal level, for just all of us, you know, going forward in dealing with this. Know that there are a lot of people who are feeling a lot of different emotions, and not everyone knows or understands how to express those. There will be a lot of anger out there. And remember that we are a community, and this should be something that brings us together, not something that tears us apart, which it could easily do. So as you're dealing with this, as you're going through your week, through your month, just try to be compassionate with people. Remember that even ill attempts at humor is how some people deal with this, whether they realize it or not. And if you find yourself in a position or in a situation where what you're dealing with, or even what you feel like you want to express is anger, disengage. Instead, find people who you are close to, people who you trust, and instead talk with them. Just remember, no matter what happens, guys, to always love before anything else.
There are no easy answers for this. And I get the feeling that there are folks in the chat that would like this to be wrapped up in a bow for us to be able to give perfect context and be able to wrap this up all nice and neat and say, this is exactly the problem. This is what we can do to fix it. No one can do that. No one can do that. And we're not pretending that we can try. There are things that I think each of us can do in our own individual lives. You know, I am conflicted on this issue. I am a gun owner. I do believe in the Second Amendment. But I also recognize when there is something wrong, when something is going irreplaceably wrong. And in the last 5 years, watching the parade of horror that has happened has been very difficult. And it's challenging for, I think, everyone, not just gamers, not just fans of esports, not just people who believe in the Second Amendment. This is a challenging discussion for everyone. And what we wanted to do here today was to put the first step in that conversation. This is not the solution. This is not the end of the discussion. This is the beginning of it. And in our own small way, we wanted to try with the most civility that we could muster to start this conversation on the best leg that we felt we could. That was our goal here today. It wasn't to tell you what to think. It wasn't to tell you how to feel. It was to give you an opportunity to tell us how you're feeling, to tell the rest of the world how you're feeling. Checkpoint Radio is syndicated on almost 60 stations across the United States and Canada. We have a fairly large imprint and can make an impact, and we recognize that, and we recognize the responsibility of that. And to come out here today half-cocked with half-facts, half-truths, mistruths, the wrong information would have been incredibly disingenuous and wrong for us to do. We came out and we gave you what facts we could and how it made us feel. And we asked you to return that. And you did. And we want to thank everyone who called in today, everyone who stopped by the chat room, who shared their opinions, whether we agree with them or not. This is the beginning of the discussion. This is not the end of the discussion. Please continue forward. Do not numb yourself. Have the hard conversations. And we may have those hard conversations here, but not today. Today was a day of grieving. Today was a day to remember those that we lost. Elijah and Taylor. That's who we're here to talk about. That's who we're here to remember. It's not about the politics. It's not about It's not about any of the ancillary things that we can put around that. It is about these two individuals that lost their lives going to work. We can make this place better. We don't have to make it worse. We don't have to hurt one another. We can do good. And as Robbie said, we can love. And I think that that is a wonderful sentiment to take us out on. Thank you guys for joining us for our special presentation today here at Checkpoint Radio. We're going to be here on Wednesday and likely retreading this topic. So please feel free to join us on Wednesday and every single Wednesday for episodes of Checkpoint Radio right here at twitch.tv/Checkpoint Radio, as well as our 60 wonderful affiliates across the United States and Canada. Before we go, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Robbie and Norris and Joe. You guys have really kind of helped me process and deal with this tragedy and, process a lot of my emotions. I think the worst thing that we could do at this particular moment is close off and not talk about how we feel or how this makes us feel. And I'm lucky to count you guys as friends because, traveling together and having this happen, this was tough. This was a tough one to wrap my head around. And I really want to thank you guys. That's going to be it for us here at Checkpoint Radio. Thank you so much if you've been joining us today. For the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. We'll see you. Keep listening.